Well, hello guys, it's almost noon and I'm so looking forward to our time together. As you guys are beginning to jump on, hello on Instagram Live, hello on Facebook Live. I'm so excited to be with you guys today and I'm anxious to hear from you. It is Thursday and it is the Holy Week. It's the week that we spend time really meditating on and preparing our hearts for Easter. So how are you guys doing? I just want to touch base with you guys and see how you're doing. And hopping on here, give me a thumbs up. I'm seeing you guys start to get on. Hello, Rachel. Good to see you. Hi, Diane. Good to see you. It's just about the 12 o'clock hour. And I don't know about you, but it's raining here in Southern California. I just talked to some friends in New York, and it's raining there as well. So I'm just getting some texts from you guys. Good to see you hopping on. And guys, this is going to be a great time today together. It's Thursday. So in the Holy Week, I don't know how many of you have read through the account in the Gospels and you began to look at what each day of that Holy Week looked like. But today I want to talk to you about the Garden of Gethsemane and what happened in that garden. So I want to give you guys a few minutes to get on. I just want to say hi. Hello, Karen. Hi, Sue. Hi, Cynthia. Hi, Diane. Hi, Valerie. I'm so glad our Facebook Live is working today. We had some problems yesterday. I don't know, just too many people maybe on in this virtual world we're living in. So just, it's so good to see your names as they pop up. And hi, Kim. Good to see you. So you guys, before we get started, I was reading this morning an article and it began to talk about how our world is going to change forever. And of course, no one can predict that, but we can look at trends. We can begin to look at and see how we're processing COVID-19 and some trends that are happening that may be our new normal. You've heard it. I've said it here. I know you guys have heard it over and over. We will never go back to normal, that we have a new normal. And one thing it talked about was that restaurants will change, that people won't be as comfortable to go out the way we used to go out. They're going to be a little more cautious about sitting so close to strangers. But they talked about how things like parks and malls, that there'll be this resurgence because we want community. We have to have community. So where will be a safe place? And so when we are able to go back out, there'll be this resurgence in parks and in malls and even churches, places people can go and still have some space. And they also made a comment. Tell me what you think about this. It said that family values and family time would really, there'll be the surge of family time because we trust our family members. And I thought about that because in this couple of weeks that we've been in quarantine, I've actually felt most comfortable with my family. And so whether it's being trying to get with the immediate family or spending time with our immediate family. And so that would be a good thing that's going to come out of this COVID-19, that respecting family time and valuing family time. It talked about things like arts and crafts and using the mediums of social media, how we'll begin to have more time with having fun games together. So how do you guys feel about that? You guys are all giving me thumbs up here as you're jumping on. Do you find that you're spending more time with family? It also talked about things like cooking at home. So I'm just telling you, all you entrepreneurs, all you business women that are out there right now, these are the things for us to start thinking about now. This is what we're going to come back to. This will be our new normal. So start to think about, man, I may start a business with, you know, how to have maybe cooking classes and maybe go online. Let me teach you how to make a quick meal. Because I'm telling you what, if we begin to look at the signs right now of how there's been a shift, we know that after 9/11, there was a shift because of, you know, TSA. So we didn't do airports the way we used to do airports. They set up TSA. They set up, you know, you couldn't go down to the gate like you used to. Why? Because a crisis changed everything. If you look at the stock market crash in 2008, everything changed. So our portfolios changed and the way we did business financially changed. We've got to look that when these crises come, changes come out of them. And those who have eyes to see and ears to hear will begin to see how the shifts and the changes are coming. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I mentioned at the beginning of our time together that if you begin to look at this Holy Week and you look through any of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, All of them have an account of this Holy Week, which started with Palm Sunday and leads us to Easter. And if you begin to journal through and go through all of the Gospels, you'll see where Jesus was Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We know where he was on Friday on the cross, in the grave on Saturday, and he rose on Sunday. Well, on Thursday is when we have the account of the Garden of Gethsemane. And so this is Thursday, and I want to talk to you about that because I began thinking about that garden. Now, let's talk a little bit, and I've entitled today's lesson for us, Are You Sleeping? Are You Sleeping? Because they had just had what we would call the Lord's Supper. They just had the Passover Supper. Jesus spent time explaining what was happening. He even said to them, one of you will betray me. And then Judas walked out of the Lord's Supper going to betray him. And then he said to his disciples, come with me. Now, it was probably about midnight, if you study the account of the time frame, and Jesus was busy that whole week. He knew what was getting ready to happen. And after the Lord's Supper, he said, come with me, follow me. And he takes them into a garden. Now, don't you find it interesting that it's a garden that he's getting ready to have this final farewell time with his disciples, this time of intimacy with prayer? And it was the garden that we got started with in Genesis. And it's the garden in Revelation that we'll go back to in Revelation 22. So the intimate times of God seem to always be in a garden. And the Garden of Gethsemane was a garden of olive trees. If you've ever been to Jerusalem, if you've ever been to Gethsemane, it's a beautiful, beautiful garden of olive trees. And of course, we know that he talks about being the olive branch. And there's so much symbolism, you guys, in the Word of God. If you'll stop and listen and stop and read the Word of God. And when I was thinking today about this, a lot of us like to call the Lord's Prayer what I taught on a few weeks ago, which is actually the model prayer. When he said to his disciples, when you pray, pray like this, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That was Jesus teaching the disciples to pray. Now listen to me, this is why it's important. We know the disciples knew how to pray because Jesus had already taught them to pray. So why weren't they praying? That's my question. Are we sleeping? Why aren't we praying? We're coming to this prayer wall every day at noon because we want to pray because Jesus taught us to pray. This is the time to pray. We are in our houses right now. We are praying. We're attuned to the things of God right now, like we maybe have not been attuned to the things of God in a long time. And if you begin to look, Jesus prepared them for the Garden of Gethsemane. He invited them to come in. He told his disciples, wait here. And then he said to Peter, James, and John, come in with me. He knew the tenderness of their heart. He knows the tenderness. There will be a few of his followers that he can entrust himself to. That's just the truth. You've heard me teach on the law of the 12 many times. And if you take the disciples, you can break them up literally in who you are as one of the disciples. And I teach this, the law of the 12, because your 12 friends will be one of these 12. There will be one that will deny you and betray you. That was Judas. Judas betrayed Jesus. Then there were eight that were just along for the ride. They loved Jesus. They were his disciples. They were there for the breaking of the bread, and they were there for the multiplication of feeding the 10,000, the 5,000. They were there along for the ride. But then there were the three. Listen, there were the three that were in his inner circle, and he would always call them into the intimate moments. And they were Peter, James, and John. And he knew their hearts. So here he is in Gethsemane. He says to the disciples, wait here. And then he says to Peter, James, and John, come with me. I'm getting ready to go do one of the hardest things I've ever done. I'm going to pray to the Father. Come with me. And I want to read the passage to you out of Mark. It says that he went to a place which they called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. Now, I believe he expected them to pray. Look, guys, when somebody's praying and I'm at this wall and somebody's praying, I walk up, I pray with them. I don't just sit and wait. Okay, you go pray. I believe Jesus taught them how to pray because he wanted them to pray. And he said, sit here. I believe he wanted them to pray. And then he took with him Peter, James, and John. And then he began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful. Can you imagine Jesus saying to you, my soul is very sorrowful, even to the point of death. Remain here and watch. I'm going to go a little further. It says he fell to the ground and he prayed that if it be possible in this hour, that this cup might pass from him. And this is where he said, but not my will, but thine will be done. And then the scripture says he prayed for an hour. And then he came out where he left his disciples. And the Bible says he came and he found them sleeping. And he said, oh, Peter, 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 are you asleep? Could you not even tarry with me an hour? And that's why I entitled this, Are You Sleeping? Because we may feel like we've been in quarantine forever. We may wonder when we're going to get back out on the streets and in restaurants and movie theaters and back to church. But I believe Jesus is saying to us, are you sleeping? I've given you this time. I've given you this time to be in prayer, to be watching, to be listening, to seeing what I'm going to do anew and afresh. And many of you are in your houses sleeping. You're binging on Netflix. If you're like me, a lot of us are eating more and we're cooking more. And yes, we're having great family time, but are you praying? He says to them on this Thursday, before he's getting ready to go to the cross on Friday, are you sleeping? And he says to Peter, are you sleeping? And listen, he says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Isn't it interesting that he called Peter out? He said, Peter, pray with me, because Peter's getting ready to do one of the greatest things in his life that he probably wishes he didn't do, and that's deny Jesus. He's going to deny Jesus three times. Isn't it interesting that Jesus went into the garden three times to pray? He went and he prayed an hour. He came out. He encouraged them to pray. He went back in again. He prayed and he came out. They were sleeping again. A third time he went in to pray. It was three times that Peter denied Jesus. Three times he said, listen to me, Peter, I love you. You have walked with me. You have listened to me. I know you love me. I'm asking you to pray so that you don't enter into temptation, because the spirit's willing. I know, bud, I know you want to, but your flesh is weak. And all of us, our spirit, yes, Abba, Father, we love you. We love you. We love you. But this is around that midnight hour, up to 3 o'clock in the morning. I understand they're tired. They've been through a lot emotionally. And I was thinking about this, like, I think a lot of us are tired right now. I told my husband the other day, you know, I just feel tired. It's raining and it's gloomy and I need some energy. And I feel that's how they must have felt. They were emotionally exhausted, trying to understand what Jesus is teaching them, and they fell asleep. And I don't want to be sleeping. I want to be praying. I want to be awake. I want to see what Jesus is telling me. And then in verse 39, he goes on and he says, and again, he went away and he prayed, saying the same words. And again, he came and they were sleeping because their eyes were very heavy. And in 41, it says, and it came a third time and said to them, are you still sleeping? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man has been betrayed. And look what he says. Rise up and let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand. Jesus knew that Judas had betrayed him before Judas had betrayed him, because this is the Son of God. He went into prayer. And when he said to God the Father, please, can this cup pass me? And he knew God the Father said, no, my son, this is why you came. Remember we said that Godhead is three in one, Father, Son, and Spirit. The Bible tells us in Genesis that the Bible starts off, in the beginning, God created. And in Genesis 26, it says, let us make man in our image. This is the Trinity talking. God Creator, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are speaking. Jesus was made in our image. He took on the form of man. He humbled himself. He left his heavenly throne. He came to earth. He walked among earth so he could die for our sin. That's just the gospel in a nutshell. So when he was in the garden praying, he knew God's will. He is God in humanity and in divinity, and it was his time. And I want us to think a moment as we go to prayer today, because it's this beautiful picture in Gethsemane. Let me just ask you, are you praying or are you sleeping? It's a time for us to be about our Father's business. And in just a few short hours, if you go back and you begin to read the Gospels, we find out that now the Sanhedrin come, and then he's taken to Pilate, and then he's taken to Herod, and then he's taken back to Pilate, and then he's accused, and then he is whipped and beaten. And in just a few short hours on Friday, we're going to gather here at this wall, 24 hours from right now on Friday. We're going to gather around this building in our cars, and we're going to have a time at this wall. Pastor Phil and I will be here tomorrow at noon, and we're going to be leading you through a Good Friday prayer. We have our cross out front here at the church, and I'm going to ask every one of you that live in the area to get in your cars tomorrow and drive down here to Influence Church. Stay in your car. We want to abide by what our government has asked us to do in distance, social distancing. So stay in your car, but we will line up outside the church and we will begin to park and pray. We will circle this building and we will pray as the church has never prayed before. That's exactly what Jesus asked his disciples to do. Could you not pray with me an hour? And I'm going to ask you guys right now during this Holy Week, I believe that Easter's taken on a whole new dimension for all of us. Gosh, you just can't read this account and not get emotional. What he did for us. What he did for us. Easter looks different for us this year. I mentioned to you yesterday, we're probably not thinking about our Easter outfits or our Easter eggs or our Easter ham. Maybe this year is going to be a little different. Maybe we sit around as a family and we begin to pray. And maybe you want to fast a period of time, a breakfast or a lunch, or about maybe a day you want to fast between now and Easter. Maybe Saturday you want to fast and really take the things of God serious. Guys, we will never go back to who we were, but we will be new. We talked a few days ago about how the Bible tells us in Isaiah, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing. The former things are gone. The old things are gone, but I'm doing a new thing." Oh, don't you see it? It springs up. And as quickly as this coronavirus came on us, the Holy Spirit wants to spring up in us. Oh, spring up. Oh, spring up in me a well. Spring up. So I want to ask you as we go to the wall today and pray, would you just ask God to keep your holy keep your senses awake, to keep you with a holy understanding of the things of God? Listen to me. I have to get the flesh out of me so I can make room for the Spirit in me. I ask the Holy Spirit to quicken me alive. God, I'm at this wall right now with every woman and man or who's ever on this right now. And God, we are asking you right now during this Holy Week, during this Thursday, which represents the day that Jesus went to Gethsemane to pray. That was his prayer. That was him calling out, asking, "Can this cup pass me by?" And he knew it couldn't because he had to drink the cup of death. He had to take death on for us. And so, Father, as we understand right now, we are living in the midst of a coronavirus. We are living in the midst of a pandemic. We are hearing daily about deaths. We need you, Jehovah Rapha, like we've never needed you before. We need you to quicken us awake. We need you to save those. Right now, I have friends and loved ones struggling with this disease. Many of you have sent me the names of loved ones who have been tested positive with this COVID-19 disease. In Jesus' name, I say, be healed. We pray that you would protect them, that you would let their immune system fight off this disease. In Jesus' name, we stand strong. We stand tall. We stand with confidence, God, that our God, our healer, can heal these one loved ones of ours. But God, we ask that your church would rise up. We stand at this wall that says, prayer wall, expect a miracle. And we ask for a supernatural moving. God, we know that it doesn't necessarily always come quick. It takes time to get the old out. And I think back in all the revivals that I've been a part of, God, it took time because we had to contemplate. We had to think. We had to process. We had to understand surrender. We had to understand becoming one with you. And that's where we are, God. We're shifting and we're moving and we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And you tell us in Philippians, God, about the crucifixion. I love this verse, God, because you say that we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And you talk, Father, about having a heart, a stony heart in Jeremiah that has to be softened, that has to be softened. And God, all of these verses that are coming alive, God, as we're reading the Word of God, it's coming alive. So we sit here and you ask us, could we not pray an hour? Why is it that we can sit and binge a movie on Netflix for 2 or 3 hours, but we cannot sit in prayer for an hour? Let our minds meditate upon you. Let our hearts meditate upon you. Let us read scriptures and psalms. Let us put on praise music and meditate and sing and dance and repent. Let us just set aside holy time and righteous time God, you want to teach us how to have quality time with you. God, sometimes it's so hard for us to just spend 5 minutes, 5 minutes alone with you. And God, you're teaching us, can't you be with me for an hour? So I pray, Father, during this holy week that you would teach us how to press in. We ask for revival. We ask for renewal. We ask for supernatural spirits in our hearts, in our families. Bring our children home. Bring our parents back. Bring our loved ones to the tenderness of you, Holy Spirit. Teach us how to think about you and to ponder the deep things of God. As I'm just praying right now, I'm just praying my heart. You see, I'm just praying words. I'm just talking to my God. I'm making requests. God, we honor you. We say, hallowed be your name. Oh, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it's already being done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and lead us not into temptation. God, see how we have to just pray. See how to pray scripture. If you say, I don't know what to pray, then get a psalm. Psalm 22 is a beautiful psalm because it reaccounts the crucifixion of our Lord. Begin to read psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and just pray them out with your heart. This is how you pray, my friend. This is how you pray. You pray the word of God. And when God speaks to you, stop and you repent and you confess and you praise and you do this over and over and over as your spirit presses in, as your heart presses in. You don't look at the clock. You don't look at a watch. You begin to just look at the word of God and you meditate. You spend time on your knees. You spend time on your face. You open the word of God. You get alone in a room. You spend quality time. This is what he wants his church to do. This is how he wants us to press in. This is how he wants us to be still and know that he is God. This is quality time. This is good time. This is precious time. So Father, we thank you. We know just a few short hours from now on Good Friday was the day that you went to Calvary. And so we thank you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the cross. As I studied this morning and I realized that it was anywhere from 6 to 9 hours that you were on that cross, that your body had been beaten and torn for me. And then you were placed on a cross with spikes placed in your hand and in your feet for me. And then you were tormented and ridiculed and made fun of for 6 to 9 hours as your human body died for me. Let me understand what this is about. Let me understand resurrection power. You tell us that I might know you in the power of the resurrection through the fellowship of your suffering, that I might be conformed into the image of your Son. That's how the scripture comes alive. When I quote the scripture, I begin to understand what it means. And that passage, Father, in Philippians is a passage of what you did on Calvary for me. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every one of us, you guys, I can lead you in prayer. I can lead you in prayer. But until you learn to pray, until you learn to take the word of God and read it and let it come alive and activate your spirit and activate your heart, you got to read it. It's got to be your prayer from your heart. He said, Simon Peter, could you not pray? I taught you how to pray. Could you not pray? Guys, as much as I want us to come to the wall and pray together, we have to know how to pray. And if you have to start by just praying the Lord's Prayer, start by praying the Lord's Prayer and pray it over and over and get the Bible and read the Psalms and turn on prayer worship music and just spend time with him. Let it be your goal to be able to spend 1 hour with Jesus in prayer. So I thank you for being with me today. I can't wait to see you tomorrow. Again, I'm going to ask everyone to join me here, 11:45, Influence Church. We will line up in our cars. Do not get out of your car. Line up along the street. We'll have pastors here that will direct you, and then we will circle our church in prayer, and Pastor Phil and I will lead you from the wall at 11:45. We'll be here at noon. You'll start with some worship music, and then we'll begin to pray, and we're going to thank him for the cross. We're going to thank him for the cross. We're going to thank him for what our Christianity means to us, what our salvation means to us. And we're going to take serious Easter like we never have before. I love you guys so much. I just want to do a quick shout out. A lot of you are on. Hello, Christy. Hello, Naomi. Looking forward to tomorrow. Park and pray. Amen. 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 Karen, thank you. You're in Nevada, but you will be here in spirit. We know you will. Karen, thank you. And I know, thank you for asking how you can help. Be here. The only reason we're asking for you to stay in your cars is because we want to comply. We do know there are a lot of churches that have been targeted, and people are watching them. Authorities are watching that they don't, that they do comply. And so we want to comply. So we're going to ask you to stay in your cars. And thank you. But Karen was one of the first ones to say, how can I be here and help? And we love you. But we will be here together in our cars. And so we love you guys. The Passover will have a deeper meaning. Amen. Amen. And then I think you guys know that tomorrow evening for our Good Friday service, Pastor Phil and I will just bring you a quick little message. And then we have Rabbi Jason who will be sharing exactly what the Passover meal means. So tomorrow's a big day, lots of fun things. If you've not downloaded the church app, I encourage you to do that because, guys, we're able to connect with you. We have children's ministries and our youth ministries on there. I'm bringing you prayers. So we love you guys so much. I love you. Thank you for the hearts. It's just weird to be up here. I want you guys to see. I'm gonna carry my little laptop over here. I just want you to see all the food that's lining up here. Look at shelves and shelves and shelves of food that we're collecting that is going every week to the Boys and Girls Club. So when I walk in here and I see all of this food, it's so cool. Sorry, Instagram, I didn't get you on. But all of this food, it goes down every week to the Boys and Girls Club. This week, I know specifically we fed 82 families with just what we brought. So we need you to bring this food on Sundays 9 to noon. Gives us an opportunity to wave to each other. Everything is going, and then we're working again, touch base with Jen and the empowerment program. We're Zooming with Teen Challenge. We're still working with Grandma's House and Olive Crest. So guys, we've not stopped the work. We're stronger, I believe, in ministry than we've ever been. So I love you guys. I can't wait to be with you here at the Wall for Park and Pray tomorrow at 11:45. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. Spend some time in the garden today. Spend some time in prayer. Love you guys. Have a great day. Bye.